what did they stabilize, and what does it mean to me and you and other folks in town?
I think a lot of people are asking that question, wanting to know exactly what the big deal in Congress was over the last couple of weeks. And I, from what I know, they were really attempting to do something to stabilize the financial markets in the United States. We all know that they've been under severe duress for some time now relative to the mortgage industry. The distinction between what they can do relative to the government or the Fed to help the economic sort of woes of Wall Street in some respects is it has a disconnect with the market. And I think that's sometimes difficult to perceive because the market is really, for lack of a better terminology, our individual collective society's sort of perception of what's going on with the economy. And that, in a large degree, is driven by how hopeful we may be or not for the future of the economy. That's a difficult thing to legislate.
And it seems to change day by day.
It does seem to change day by day as we are more hopeful or more fearful day by day. The government has the ability to interact with sort of the mechanics of the economy relative to trying to establish values for things and something that's a concrete basis for the mechanics of Wall Street to work. But the changing of the hopefulness of the country is a different animal altogether. And, you know, the response that we saw perhaps today in the markets was reflective of still a high degree of uncertainty about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And it takes time.
Steve, when I first called you up and asked you about this, you mentioned that by intervening, the federal government was going to help establish some value for some of these bundled mortgages and so on, these bad assets that we're hearing about in the news. If the government's committed to buying some of these things, how do you explain the market's reaction? It seems like the market sort of destabilized a little bit when it opened up Monday.
Well, Friday, of course, was just the day that Congress actually passed it, so I don't think anything had actually been accomplished over the weekend yet. I suspect that the market is impatient for something to be fixed and changed and rectified. The markets, of course, started moving before the market even opened in the U.S. today relative to the sentiment around the rest of the world about, again, an uncertainty about what was going to happen exactly, how the Feds were going to proceed in this country and how that would affect the basis of the economies, and particularly the financial sectors of the other economies in Europe and in Asia. Ultimately, it really is uncertainty about what will happen next that more than anything else drives the volatility of the markets, and that unknown element is a very difficult one to resolve.
Has the media been helpful or harmful, do you think, just based on what you're hearing from your clients, in helping people understand what's going on?
I'd be hard-pressed to say at this point that the media is really being helpful. And I don't know, to look at the other side of that, how the media might look at this in a different way that would be helpful to people, other than perhaps the mechanics of the markets and the economy, which is dense and difficult to wrap yourself around even if you do it every day. But I think that the sense of just creating panic for panic's sake doesn't serve anybody. And as somebody much wiser than I said some time ago, panic is not a very good investment philosophy. And I think that's really true in cases like this, that somehow to maintain a focus on what we're trying to accomplish with our financial selves, our financial resources, is important in a time like this, and not to be carried away and sort of become reactionary to the markets, as crazy as they may feel from time to time. To keep kind of our eye on the goal is important, to be able to find a way to separate what we can control from what we can't control, and that's what we do with everything else in our lives. And what we can control, it seems like in our financial worlds, we can control the time frame that we're willing to allow our funds to grow. If we have a long-term time frame, 10, 15, 20 years, that's a long time for things to change. We can certainly control the quality of our investments, and we can control how soon we need our money. So we can make decisions based upon things that we can control, and at the same time continue to learn from what's going on around us.
Steve, when you hear East Coast pundits or the media or even Congress talk about this crisis hitting Main Street, what is your reaction every time you hear the word Main Street and the crisis coming to Main Street?
Well, I think Main Street, the way that I would define it, would be us. Us as, you know, the citizens of Sitka. Us as the people that are going to work every day and trying to raise our kids and hoping that, you know, at some point down the road we can find a way to perhaps not work and retire. And in one way or another, I guess we're all shaped by the concept of American dream that we interpret in different ways, but we're certainly all affected by it. And Main Street, I think, is all of us. Wall Street, I guess, is a way to distinguish between the people that, just like us, have families and lives that they're trying to go ahead and prepare for, but are involved because of their occupation and responsibilities and decisions that have perhaps a greater effect over all of us from where they're working and the kind of obstacles and opportunities that are presented to them in their businesses. But Main Street, I think, is us.
Everybody who's ever read Money Magazine or something like that knows that you're supposed to buy low and sell high if you're in the market at all. And I just wonder, whenever there's a big market sell-off like this, is there any kind of silver lining here for ordinary investors that we're just overlooking because we tend to mainly hear the words panic and crisis and Main Street and tend to block out everything else?
It's all in the context of time frame. I think as we look at the difference between obstacles and opportunities, lemons to lemonade, for your 21-year-old son or daughter that's able to put away $3,000 or $4,000 a year in a Roth IRA for retirement, there may not be a better opportunity for 40 years of growth to happen. What are the odds that may not turn out to be a good decision? For a short-term event, the odds are probably reversed, that the likelihood is maybe worth less in 2 years than now, relative to making an investment in the markets at this time. We just don't know. The uncertainty is much higher on a shorter term. The sense of seeking opportunities, I think, though, is what separates the Warren Buffetts of the world from perhaps a lot of the others that are looking through those opportunistic eyes. As Warren says, he likes to be greedy when others are fearful.